This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We will be beginning in a few minutes, inshallah. With that, I'm just going to give the others some time to tune in and then we will commence. I hope I'm audible. Just let me know in the comments below. Just sharing link on my social media as well. Okay, so I think we can begin then. I would like to greet everyone again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina wa habibina wa kurrati ayunina Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi afdalu salati wa atammu taslim. Amma ba'd. So we begin by praising Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Him, the Almighty, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters, I begin by reminding myself, by enjoining myself, and then all of you all, to bring in a life of taqwa. And that is to be mindful of your maker, that is to be conscious of your maker. It's a work in progress, but we need to constantly keep working on this to become more and more mindful about Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the concept of taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says with regards to taqwa and the people of taqwa, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ mafaza. Indeed, the people of taqwa are... Indeed, for the people of taqwa is mafaza, victory and success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. I'm hearing, let's see, is my volume really low? Is that so? Let me check, inshallah. How is it now? Just let me know in the comments if what do you think now? Yes, I can read the comments. Yes. Is it okay now? Is the volume okay now? I've increased it. Is it too loud now? Let me know in the comments. It's okay now? All right, I think it's okay now. Jazakumullah khair. Okay, walillahi alhamd. Jazakumullah khair for pointing it out. All right, alhamdulillah. Okay, so my dear brothers and sisters, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, the infinite wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He keeps blessing us with season of goodness after season of goodness. And I'm sure most of us, even the last sermon, I spoke about the virtues in regards to the special days of Dhul Hijjah that we are headed towards. So now the thing is, I think a lot of us, we are aware of the virtues of Dhul Hijjah. Some of us are aware of it in a general sense. We know that the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are very powerful and grand days. And there are others who know about the virtues in a specific sense. Now, in the previous sermon, for those of you who tuned in, and maybe for those of you who watched the recording later on, I went on to discuss certain specific virtues with regards to the days of Dhul Hijjah. The question that I'd like to pose now, firstly for myself and then to all of you tuning in, is that do we attach the same amount of importance to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah like we do so with regards to the last 10 nights of Ramadan? You see, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, yes, it is understood that it is the month of Ramadan, it is the grandest of months, and the shayateen, they're shackled up, and we are all in the spirit of doing as many good deeds as possible. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, equally, you need to attach importance to the days of Dhul Hijjah, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Because when talking about nights, the 10 nights of Ramadan are the best 10 nights. When talking about days, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the best of days. You see, you have many ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ that talk about the virtue, the grandeur, the greatness of these days that we are headed towards. For example, we have the hadith that has been recorded in the book of, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, he is reported to have said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is the hadith that was posted even in the caption of the sermon, there are no days greater and more beloved unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. So there are no days greater and more beloved unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, so increase in them your declaration of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increase in at-tahleel, at-takbir, and at-tahmeed. Increase in your declaring of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tahleel. Increase in your exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takbir. Increase in your praise unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tahmeed. So from this hadith, and there are other hadith as well, that clearly illustrate and tell us that these days are extremely powerful and grand days. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what does an intelligent individual do when a season comes about? What do we do? For example, when there is a season with regards to business. Now, there are those of us who study the trends of the market. Yes or no? I mean, and for that matter, any intelligent business person, any intelligent investor would do that, right? You would study the market. You would study the trends of the market forces. And then based on that, you would try your level best to make an educated and careful decision with regards to where you plan on investing your money. What type of a business? What type of a deal? What type of a purchase, if you will? Let's say you're trying to buy a property, sell a property. You would study the market and you would capitalize on the season prevalent during the market. Let's say there are traders. They would capitalize on certain seasons to promote their products, to sell more products, to order certain products. So we do all of this, all of this research, if you will, all of these calculated decisions, if you will, when it comes to dunya. So why are we not intelligent? Why are we not educated? Why don't we educate ourselves? Why are we not careful? Why don't we take calculated decisions with regards to Al-Akhirah? So we say this often, dunya, it's transitory, it's temporary, it's short. Yet we spend a lot of time, a lot of resources, and Islam does not prohibit us from doing so in terms of, you know, earning good and halal income. It's well and good. But similarly, we shouldn't lose sight of the important priority. I mean, the important objective that is ahead of us. We shouldn't get our priorities mixed up where we tend to completely disregard the seasons of goodness. So now that we have established a nice example, you have a season. And those who are aware, those who have knowledge, are reminding you, are educating you. And subhanAllah, there is no excuse to state that, you know what, I wasn't educated. I wasn't reminded. Today, I'm sure, I mean, if you're on social media, you have organizations, you have pages, you have scholars, you have educated people who go on to keep sharing content, reminding you about the 10 days of the Hijjah. So that excuse will not stand to state in the court of Allah that, Ya Allah, I did not know about this season. Ya Allah, I didn't know that the season came and went. Ya Allah, I did not know about the virtues of this season. Subhanallah. So it's important that we educate ourselves and that we capitalize, that we prepare ourselves to capitalize on the 10 days of the Hijjah. So I want to address a few FAQs, if you will, frequently asked questions with regards to the 10 days of the Hijjah. So question number one that I get asked a lot is, what are we to do during these 10 days of the Hijjah? All right. So number one that I'd like to touch on in terms of recommended acts, I shared a series of posts on my social media, on Instagram and on Facebook as well, touching on a few recommended actions. I think I titled it The Best Way is to Invest in the 10 Days of the Hijjah. So here, let's discuss this in detail, inshallah, and also let's try to address a few questions. I'll try to go through the comments, you know, but I'm not sure I'll be able to go through every comment. But if you do have any questions, just post them and I'll try to address them as I speak right now. Otherwise, I'll go on to address them after the talk, inshallah, in the comments. I'll try my level best. No promises, though. All right. Jazakum Allah khair. Okay. So let's start off with recommended action number one, fasting. It used to be from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is highly recommended to fast on the first 9 days of the Hijjah. To fast on the first 9 days of the Hijjah. So day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now you may be wondering, why not on the 10th day? Because we're talking about 10 days. The 10th day, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is the day of Eid. Yawmun Nahr, the day of Eid. The 9th day is Yawm Arafah. So the 10th day is Yawmul Eid. It is prohibited to fast on the 10th day. The day of Eid is for celebration. It's an act of ibadah to glorify Allah, to celebrate that day, to eat. It is an act of ibadah. So it is prohibited to fast on the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha. As for the other 9 days, it is highly recommended, especially on the 9th, especially on the day of Arafah, for those who are not pilgrims. So if you are on Hajj, then it is not from the Sunnah to fast. If you are on Hajj, if you are a pilgrim. But if you are not a pilgrim, and that I would say is the bulk of us, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up His masajid across the world, His houses across the world, and may Allah azza wa jal invite us to Al-Haramain, may Allah azza wa jal invite us to Mecca, may Allah azza wa jal invite us to Medina, ameen. But as we are reading this time, the numbers are going to be very strictly limited, and many people from different parts of the world are not going to be able to visit the house of Allah Azza wa Jal due to COVID-19 restrictions. And we sincerely pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us all back to normalcy soon. Ameen. So if you are not, so now coming back, if you are not a pilgrim, then fasting is highly recommended, especially on the 9th day, which is the blessed and grand day of Arafah. Now, with regards to the day of Arafah, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. Listen to this hadith. Listen to the words of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was asked about fasting on the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he replied, fasting on the day of Arafah is an expiation for the preceding year and the following year. Allahu Akbar. Fasting on the day of Arafah, you secure forgiveness for 2 years of sins. 2 years of sins are expiated. Look at the mercy of Allah, subhanallah. So we should prepare ourselves. And alhamdulillah, we're just after the month of Ramadan. So our bodies are accustomed to fasting. Now, especially those who, you know, fast regularly, they fast the sunnah fasts. Then, you know, your bodies are ready to cope with it. Otherwise, you're just after the month of Ramadan. So it's best that you follow the same, you know, routines that may have been recommended to you during the month of Ramadan. Now, these nine days should not be days of fasting and just sleeping them away. No, subhanallah. You know, you should eat light, keep yourself hydrated so that you are going to be able to do as many good deeds as possible during the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Action item number two, based on the hadith that we shared initially, you're supposed to declare the oneness of Allah at Tahleel. You're supposed to glorify Allah. You're supposed to exalt Allah. You're supposed to praise Allah. So during these days, it is sunnah to recite the takbir, to recite the tahmid, to recite the Tahleel, to recite the tasbih. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You glorify Allah Azza wa Jal and you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along with that, you have the specific takbirat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Now, this particular takbir is supposed to be read from the 9th of Dhul Hijjah to the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. So the point being that you're supposed to remember and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible during these days. These are special, powerful and grand days. So you're supposed to try and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Now, along with that, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, read the Quran, befriend the Quran. Now, for some of us, you know, we might have gotten caught up with the dunya and with other commitments and work and whatnot. So perhaps after the month of Ramadan, we might have reduced our recitation of the Quran, our contemplation of the Quran, our study of the Quran. Now here comes another season where Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving us a chance to rejuvenate our spirits, to rejuvenate our faith, to remind ourselves, to get back to the Quran, to connect ourselves to the Quran, and reflect on the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he is reported to have said that for every letter of the Quran, the reward is going to be multiplied by 10. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, he went on to say, Alif Lam Mim. And the hadith goes along the lines of these words. Alif Lam Mim is not considered one letter, but rather Alif is one, Lam is one, and Mim is one. So when you read
Alif Lam Mim,
when you read the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, Alif 10 rewards, Lam 10 rewards, Mim 10 rewards, 30 rewards. And I say this often, what if you were to, you know, get a message from, you know, you have a lot of spam going on these days, so you have to be careful. But my point is, what if the authorities in your country or the government of your country, if they were to say, you know what, for reading one letter of the Quran, okay, you're going to be, your account, your bank account. Or what if your bank reaches out to you and says, for one letter of the Quran, your bank account is going to be credited by $1 or $10. Ah, oh, subhanAllah. Think about it. How many people would be reading the Quran? Why? Because they see the incentive. They know what they can do with money. The incentive of the dunya is in front of you. It's being dangled in front of you. But here you are, the words of the Prophet. And is the Prophet akin to your bank manager? The Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, the best of the creation, he does not lie, he does not speak out of his own desires. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. What he speaks of the deen is divine revelation from Allah. And he is saying that for every letter, your reward is going to be multiplied by 10.
So should we not try and read as much of the Quran as possible? And along with the reading, the balances you must contemplate. You must reflect. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Allah says in the Quran. So you must ponder, you must reflect, you must study. So try to devote and spend time reading the Quran, studying the Quran, reflecting on the Quran. Along with that, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, these 10 days, we're going to talk about a very specific act of charity in just a bit, but give out as much charity as possible. Now, you obviously have some FAQs with regards to the specific type of charity that I'm going to be talking about, and that is udhiyah / your qurban. But generally speaking, you're supposed to try and give out as much charity as possible during these days. Just as how you would capitalize on the last 10 nights of Ramadan and give out. You should capitalize. Why? Because you were attempting to try and coincide with Laylatul Qadr. You were looking for, you were hunting for Laylatul Qadr. Similarly, during these 10 days, just as how we would try to capitalize on prices being slashed on some discount sale, 50% off, 70% off, if you will, we would want to go and buy, you know, your electronics, your devices, whatever your purchases, you know, 50% off, you know, because you can see the benefit. If it's generally going for $1,000, you're able to buy it for a $500. So here, these days, your rewards are being multiplied. These are grand days. These are powerful days. Allah has taken an oath, wal fajr, wa layalin ashr. Allah has taken an oath over these 10 days. In Surah Al-Fajr, that particular ayah, Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, he says in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, it refers to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So you are headed towards those days. So capitalize those days, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, by doing all of these good deeds, by giving out as much charity as possible, and ensure that your obligations are fulfilled. See, sometimes we tend to focus on the optional acts of worship whilst our obligations are not being fulfilled. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. If your 5 daily prayers are being compromised, work towards rectifying that. Work towards safeguarding your 5 daily prayers, where you strive to pray without missing your 5 daily prayers, where you strive to pray on time. You know, with khushu', with khudu', fulfilling the integrals of the prayer, not rushing through the prayer. Not just praying for the sake of praying. Don't do it in a robotic sense. Don't do it in a ritualistic sense. But instead, strive to savor the inner dimensions of salah. Strive to savor the true sweetness of salah. Strive to make as much dua as possible during these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Strive to give out as much charity as possible. Strive to emulate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam in terms of his good character. In terms of why not strive to study some of the sunnah, acts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and why not try to implement it in your life? The way he dealt with others, the way he interacted with others, the way he spoke with others, the way he maintained his family ties, kith and kin. You know, these days people are sharing left, right and center family memes. And I couldn't help but reflect, you know, it's the funny side of it where people are sharing. But still, it sends a subtle message of how important family is, where this movie character is willing to do whatever it is for the sake of family. So that's the story behind the meme. And then his face is being plastered everywhere and people are sharing different memes, you know. But the subtle message behind it, if you look at it, it illustrates how important family is, and Islam touches so much on the importance of family ties, and we know the repercussions, and maybe one day inshallah we'll dedicate a sermon to that. There are severe repercussions with regards to, subhanallah, it's raining in my part of the world, and when it's raining, and if it's raining in your part of the world, or if you are from where I am as well, then make dua. Because as per the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, when it rains, your dua stands a chance to be answered. So subhanAllah, you are on a Friday, okay, close to the time of Jum'ah, obviously, in my part of the world, the Adhan for Dhuhr has still not been called out, and it's raining. Make dua. Ya Allah, so we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us back to normalcy soon, ameen. Ya Allah, forgive us of our sins. Ya Allah, accept our good deeds. Ya Allah, open doors of barakah and prosperity for all of us. Ya Allah, improve our financial situations. Ya Allah, help us to purify our hearts. Ya Allah, help us to get closer to you. Ya Allah, help us to understand the value of these beautiful seasons that you are sending our way. Ya Allah, help us to do as many, many, many good deeds as possible. Ya Allah, open doors of barakah, open doors of abundance for us, and open our hearts to give out as much charity as possible. Ya Allah, help us to fulfill the rights with regards to the wealth that you have blessed us with. Ya Allah, help us to fulfill the rights with regards to the health that you have blessed us with. Ya Allah, bless our family members. Ya Allah, bless our marriages and protect our marriages. Ya Allah, bless those who don't have spouses with righteous and compatible spouses. Ya Allah, help those who are going through turbulence within their marriages. Ya Allah, ease their affairs. Ya Allah, help those who don't have good relationships with their children. Ease their affairs. Ya Allah, help the children who don't have good relationship with their parents. Ease their affairs. Help them to patch up and mend their relationships. Ya Allah, help them to put aside their egos. Help them to put aside the arrogance. Help them to put aside the pride and all of these other negative qualities. Help them to nurture love. Help them to nurture care and mercy towards one another. So my dear brothers and sisters, respecting and honoring your parents. Many ahadith that talk about it, many ayat in the Quran. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So my reminder to you is that if things have gone sour, sometimes relationships are complicated, but always strive to get to the higher ground. Strive to be the better person. Strive to forgive. Strive to let go. Strive to empathize. Strive to be compassionate. Strive to, you know, say sorry. I mean, at the end of the day, some of us, we find it so difficult to say sorry. We find it difficult to swallow our pride and say sorry. Strive for the greater good, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. So therefore, honor your parents. Respect your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Treat them with excellence. Treat them with excellence upon excellence. Treat them with ihsan. So if things have gone sour, if things have gone bad, then strive to rectify those relationships. Strive to put things right. Don't think, oh, you know what, I'll wait till the day of Eid, and on the day of Eid, maybe I'll call my mother. I'll call my father. I'll call my sister. I'll call my brother. Can you guarantee that you will witness this Eid? Subhanallah, we can't even guarantee that we will last till the end of this sermon. That's how futile, that's how volatile things are, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. So therefore, don't delay, don't wait. Call them right away. Put things right. Forgive one another. And let there be love. Let there be care. Let there be mercy towards one another. And along with this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let's strive to, along with our obligatory prayers, let's strive to offer as many nawafil as possible in terms of Salatul Duha, in terms of the Sunnah Raka'at that you are supposed to pray before and after the prayers. So all of these sunan that have been taught to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of Salatul Tahajjud, in terms of Salatul Witr, strive to fulfill as many of these sunnah prayers as much as possible. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us to do so. Ameen. And along with that, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Tawbah, turn to Allah Azza wa Jal seeking His forgiveness. He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Allah says in another place, watubu ila Allahi jami'an ayyuha almu'minun la'allakum tuflihun. You are going to secure victory. You're going to secure success by turning to Allah Azza wa Jalla in tawbah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla help us to do so. Ameen. Now, the last action item that I would like to touch on, and this is an important one that is specific to the days of the Hijjah. And by the way, an interesting feature, and this is something I think I highlighted in the previous sermon with regards to the 10 days of the Hijjah, is the fact that we have key and important good deeds all amalgamated, or rather all featured within these 10 days, unlike any other season, unlike any other season. And that is why these days are so grand. And what are the key integral deeds? You have Salah. Now, this is obvious, right? It is a cross for every season. It is applicable, and it is applicable upon this season as well. And then you have fasting. Now, fasting is applicable for this season, and it is applicable in the month of Ramadan, and you have other seasons where you fast as well. So praying and fasting is something that is somewhat general. Then you have charity. So charity is also something somewhat general, where you can have these three coming together. But the other good deed that cannot be shared during any other season is Hajj. Is Hajj, and then now the one that we're going to be talking about, Udhiyya. See, general Qurban, yes, you can give it out. But the one specific to the season of Hajj, and then the deed of Hajj. Now, can Hajj be performed during Ramadan? Can Hajj be performed during any other season? No, it has to happen within these days. And that's why these days are so powerful and so grand. Because all of these good deeds that we just mentioned, key, integral, foundational deeds, right? The pillars, they're all featured within these 10 days. So these 10 days are just mind-blowing. They're amazing. So now talking about Udhiyya, this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is the sunnah of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is a beautiful means of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a very beautiful and generous way of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It used to be the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is something that we should strive to do. Now, this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is upon every sane adult who can afford to give it out. If you can afford to give it out, then you should give it out. Now, a question may arise, and this is from the FAQs, as to whether it is compulsory. Now, you see, even without getting into that discussion, irrespective of whether it is compulsory or not, you should understand, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that the entire Ummah, all of the Muslims, we unanimously agree that it is a strongly established Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that people should practice. So even without having to get into the whole discussion of whether it's obligatory or not, it was an emphasized Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it, and we should attempt to do it as well. Now, there are certain imams, okay, like Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, the great Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he was of the view that due to the importance that is attached to this deed, the importance that the Messenger of Allah attached to this deed, that it becomes an obligation if one can afford to give it out. So as you can see, these are the views being put forth. So if you can afford to give it out, and you will see now how affordable it is. If you can afford to give it out, then you must give it out, inshallah ta'ala. So in terms of giving it out, how do you give it out? Now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to offer, it is from the sunnah, where you can offer a camel, where you can offer a bull, you can offer a goat. And in terms of shares, you have to understand this in summary, that a camel or a bull can be shared by seven individuals. Now, there's a misconception here that I want to clarify. People think that when you say being shared by seven individuals, they are under the impression that, oh, for example, if an individual is the head of the family, the misconception that is in place, I want you to listen to me attentively. The misconception that is in place is that this head of the family thinks that, oh, if I have seven family members under me, all of us can share in on one bull. No, that is not the correct understanding. You have to understand that we are talking about seven separate portions or seven separate donors, basically, you see. And the obligation to give out is only upon the head of the family, the main breadwinner of the family, if you will. All of his dependents come under him. So the criteria is basically on whether, you know, you are dependent on someone or not. Now, if you are independently having sources of income or a source of income, and if you're looking after yourself, and if you can afford to give out the udhiyya, then you must do so separately. Now, in the example of a father, mother, and children. Okay, so the father is, if the father is the main breadwinner of the family, then it is upon his shoulders to give out udhiyah on behalf of himself, his wife, and his children. Now, the minute his children grow up, and now they start earning for themselves, and they have now moved out, and they're living by themselves. Now, they can't be dependent on the father. Now, they have to, now, let's say if there were two sons, one son has now moved out, he's earning, he's gotten a job and all of that stuff. Now, he gives out by himself because he's no longer dependent on the father. But the other son who is still dependent on the father will come under the father. Now, for each of these breadwinners, for each of these individuals who are now going to give out, what can they give out? Should they give out an entire animal? Should they give out an entire animal? No, not necessarily. Let me explain. The bare minimum is to give 1/7. So like we said, a camel and a cow can be shared by 7 shares. So the bare minimum that each breadwinner, that each head should give out is 1/7. Okay? But now, I said this the last time as well. Now, just because that's the bare minimum, if you can afford to give more, you should give more. People tend to think, oh, if 1/7 is all that is required, then let me just give out 1/7. Despite having means to give out more. If you can give out an entire animal, then you should do so. You can choose between giving out an entire goat, an entire bull. And obviously in places where camels are available, you can choose to give out an entire camel. You should only default to one share if that's all that you can afford. I hope that's clear. Why? Because the more you give, the more you're going to be rewarded. So why not give? And this is the only season in which you can secure this good deed. I mean, like, once this season passes away, you can't be like, oh, you know what? Now I feel like giving out udhiyah. No, you can't. You can't. It's only during this season, and this season comes about only once a year. So why default to one share when you can give out more? That's something that you have to bear in mind. But on the other hand, if there are financial constraints in place, and if that is all that you can afford, then yes. Our deen is so beautiful, it's so flexible, and so accommodating that you don't have to feel burdened. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Okay, you don't have to feel burdened where you think, oh, you know, I can't afford to give out an entire animal, so you know what, I'm going to miss out on udhiyah. No, subhanallah. You can fall back onto the 1/7 option, okay? That is 1/7 of the entire cost of an animal. And you can give that out and perform your udhiyah and be a part of udhiyah that particular year. So through this, what happens is you're able to put food on the tables of the needy, the hungry, and the less fortunate. You know, I'm sure you can see, let me just grab that. I think you can see that the banner that's running below here, right? So the banner has details. We've been getting feedback from very poor and needy villages, if you will, that there are families who have not had proper food, not had meat since the beginning of this year. And at this point, I want you to reflect, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Have you gone, unless maybe if it is for health reasons or dietary restrictions, have you gone even one day without having some form of meat? Some form of meat. Some of us, for some of us, our tables are incomplete without meat. We need to have some form of meat. And throughout the week, it's this, mashallah, may Allah, you know, bring in barakah. I mean, if you can afford to, well and good. As long as you're not wasting and as long as you are fulfilling your rights of helping others. Every single day it's a different cuisine, or rather it's a different type of meat. So one day it's chicken, one day it's seafood, one day it's mutton, if you will, one day it's lamb, one day it's beef. But then there are families out there who have not had a proper meal for a long time. Why? Because they can't afford to see. If you can just grab your phone, and if Allah has blessed you where you don't even have to think twice of the price tag of a meal, then Allah has blessed you. Allah has blessed you where you can just order and you're not going to lose any sleep over it. You can eat, you can host a grand feast, if you will, and you're not going to lose any sleep over it. But there are people struggling where if they feed their family for lunch, they are in a lot of difficulty thinking about dinner. And you won't believe, subhanallah, there are families wondering, what are we to do for our children on the day of Eid? And they're reaching out to us. And that's why we thought this time, you know, along with the Me Too, incorporate rice, to incorporate some flour, to incorporate some dal. Because, you know, subhanAllah, when the day of Eid comes about, we're all thinking, you know, family, if there are travel restrictions, then obviously you're not going to be traveling around. But even at home, you know, you're thinking of cooking something slightly special. Maybe it's a biryani or maybe it's something special, basically, right? These families, they're yearning for that. But they know that, you know, if they go to their kitchens, they don't have anything to cook special. You know, there's no rich food to cook on that particular day to celebrate. So it's all about sharing the joy of Eid. This act of ibadah is sharing the joy of Eid. And Allah has made it so easy today that you don't see in the past, you'd have to go and do it by yourself. And if you can do it by yourself, then well and good. But in a lot of places, it's just not practical, and it's not, I mean, in an urban setting, it's not necessarily easy to do it. And there are regulations that need to be followed. There are laws in place. So we're not supposed to break any of those laws. We're supposed to stick to the regulations, follow the regulations, you know. But Allah has made it so easy for us that there are organizations that are doing it. And all you have to do is just from the comfort of your home, contribute towards it, and then you're sharing the joy of Eid. You're fulfilling the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. You're fulfilling the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're fulfilling this great act of worship during these grand and powerful days. You're feeding the poor, hungry, the less fortunate, and the needy. So you've fulfilled your rights with regards to the wealth in that particular aspect, in regards to the ibadah of udhiyah. So don't hesitate, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. You know why? Because with regards to charity, you have to ingrain this in you. The more you give, the more you get back in return. And no one has ever become poor by giving. The more you give, the more you get back in return. Allah gives you back many, many fold in return. The doors of abundance are opened out, and it is a form of shukr. And if you're wondering, oh, Allah has blessed me with so much, I need to be thankful. Yes, you're thankful in terms of rendering gratitude, in terms of saying Alhamdulillah, in terms of making dua, in terms of not grumbling, not complaining. And along with that, a huge form of shukr is to fulfill the rights with regards to that wealth. And part of the rights, you have to give out your zakat. So if you have not given out your zakat, a lot of people try to give their zakat during Ramadan to coincide with the days of Ramadan and the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But maybe if you have a balance that you have not given out yet, or if you were not able to give out during Ramadan, then why not strive to give it during these days? So use these days to give out your zakat, or if you have some zakat due, or now that you have gone on to the next year, if maybe you want to offset some of your payments of zakat, there are needy people that are coming forward, then give out during these 10 days. The Prophet ﷺ was such a generous individual. So we who emulate him, we cannot be miserly. We cannot be Scrooges. We have to give out like the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I hope I was able to... Okay, let me look at some of the comments. If you are the sole breadwinner of feminism, of course. So there is the brother Muhammad Amin who is saying, if you are the sole breadwinner of a family of seven, will it suffice to opt for 1/7 to cover the entire family? Please clarify. Yes. Yes, giving out 1/7 will suffice for your entire family, and there is no restriction on the numbers, by the way. Let's say you have a family of 10, you can still opt to give out 1/7 if that is all that you can afford at that moment. You have a family of 15 and they're all... See, the criteria, like I said earlier on, is that they need to be dependent on you. Let's say, for example, your two parents are dependent on you. They have grown old and now they're dependent on you. Okay, and you are the main breadwinner and you have your wife, and let's say maybe even your wife's family is dependent on you. I'm just giving you a hypothetical situation where you have a lot of dependents under you, and you have, mashallah, a lot of children as well. So then you will give out 1/7 and it would suffice to basically cover all of those dependents. If you can give out an entire animal, well and good. The more you give, see, remember this, the more you give, the more you're rewarded. That's the principle. But the bare minimum is 1/7. Okay, so Brother Shahnaz has asked, can we give whatever we can? No, you can't give whatever you can, as in the bare minimum is 1/7. So you can't give less than 1/7. So either you have to opt for 1/7, Okay. And by the way, please make note, a goat cannot be shared. If you're opting to give, because a goat is obviously a cheaper option, but when opting for that, you have to give out the entire animal. Whilst with regards to a camel or a cow, you can opt for 1/7, which I would say is the cheapest option in terms of the available options. So what if you can't afford at all? Then you are not, as in there is no responsibility for you to give. You are exempted. You are excused. If you can't afford to give, then you are excused and you will be rewarded for your niyyah. So place your intention, Ya Allah, if I had and if I could give, I would give. Then inshallah, Allah will reward you for your niyyah, for your intention. If you genuinely don't have or you can't afford to give, you're not expected to give. What would be blameworthy is that if you can give and if you have the means to give and if you don't give. But if you don't have the means to give, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, Allah does not burden a soul more than he or she can endure. Barakallahu feekum. For everybody, appreciating, I thank you all as well. Jazakumullah khair. Oh yes, thank you, sister. She's actually me. You know, I call her Auntie Naz. With regards to the sunnahs of cutting nails. So basically, with regards to that aspect, you have to bear in mind that for those intending to give out udhiyah, from the time the moon is sighted, as in from the first day of the Hijjah, from the time the moon is sighted, to be more specific, until the udhiyah is given, it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you're not supposed to cut your nails or trim your nails or cut your hair. Okay, so you're not supposed to cut your nails or trim. So trim your nails or cut your hair, basically. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. And now there are wisdoms that have been highlighted in this regard by the scholars, you know, that at the end of the day, we say that Allah knows best. But from the wisdoms is that, you know, by doing this, what happens is you are establishing the connection to Hajj and the people of Hajj, because I'm sure you are all familiar with the ruling that when you are on Hajj and in the state of Ihram, you are not allowed to trim your nails, you're not allowed to cut your hair. So similarly, for those of us who are not on Hajj, by fulfilling the act of Udhiyah and by refraining from trimming our nails and cutting our hair, we are connected to the people of Hajj in that sense. This is one of the wisdoms that have been highlighted. But at the end of the day, because it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we stay away from doing it and we're going to be rewarded for it. So before the first day of the Hijjah, it's best that you trim your nails. And if you are to cut your hair, you cut your hair. And then you avoid doing it until your udhiyah is offered. So when your udhiyah is offered, after that, you may go on to trim your nails or cut your hair. And there's a question that arises as well, that now when you have given it to an organization, or when you've given to someone to do it on behalf of you, now do you really have to wait to receive a notification from them to cut your nails and your hair? Not necessarily. I mean, at the end of the day, the organization or the people doing it on your behalf, as a courtesy, they can extend giving a notification to you. But you have to understand, from your standpoint, it's based on your intention. So you wait a rough amount of time, okay? Because see, at the end of the day, they're going to be dealing with a lot of animals. So there is no way that they can determine, okay, this animal is yours, unless it's just one or two that they're dealing with. So let's say if they're dealing with 50, 100, 200, and this is the same case when you go on Hajj as well. See, when you give the money to the organizers over there, subhanallah, I'm talking about the normal numbers. When you have 2 million pilgrims, think about it, when you have 2 million pilgrims coming in for Hajj, and that much of livestock being dealt with, there's just no way for them to notify you unless, you know, they have some kind of a system in place where it is automated, you know, where you get a notification. Otherwise, it's going to be very cumbersome. So at a situation like that, all you have to do is you have to fall back onto your intention, wait for a rough amount of time, and then you can go on to, you know, trim your nails, cut your hair. But on the other hand, if you do get a courtesy notification, then that is well and good as well. You can go on to trim your nails and cut your hair after your udhiyah is offered. Now, a question also arises, what if you accidentally do it? during the days of Dhul-Hijjah. Now, number one, does it affect the validity of your intended udhiyah? Do you have to offer an expiation? No, nothing of that sort. You do not have to offer an expiation, nor does it affect the validity of your udhiyah. But it's just that you have breached the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So just because there is no effect on these two areas, we should not become heedless of it and go on to cut and trim and all of that stuff. We should strive our level best to adhere to it. I'm talking about this specifically with regards to udhiyah and not with regards to the restriction when you are in a state of ihram. I'm talking about udhiyah. I'm just reiterating that. So with regards to udhiyah, if you accidentally were to cut your nail or cut your hair, there's no expiation and it does not affect the validity of your udhiyah. You're still supposed to go on to give out your udhiyah, expecting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can two families not dependent on each other give one goat? No, that's not possible. Rather, what would be advisable is for the two families to give out 1/7 each, if that's what they can afford. So each family gives out 1/7 because a goat cannot be shared. I hope I've made it clear. Can a share be given on behalf of a marhum or marhuma? Yes, it's possible. If someone has passed away, just like with normal sacrifices as well, you must ensure that you intend your intention the appropriate way. I often see people intending, I'm doing this for the sake of my father. Now, that's not an appropriate intention. You have to intend, I'm doing it for the sake of who? For the sake of Allah. And then pray, Ya Allah, I'm doing this on behalf. Use the right wording, on behalf of my father, on behalf of my mother. And even when formulating the intention in your heart, I'm talking about the wording as in when forming it in your heart, that you intend, I'm doing it for Allah on behalf of my father. Let the reward go to my father. And Allah is the most generous. You will be rewarded. And along with that, whoever has passed away, your loved one, will also be rewarded, inshallah ta'ala. So there's another question that has come in. My friend asks, do we really have to give Qurban this time, keeping in mind the present crisis? Can the money be given to family who are seriously in need of money? No, with regards to udhiyah, it needs to be fulfilled in the form of udhiyah unless there is something that prevents you from doing so. Then the whole responsibility of udhiyah would fall off. But to replace udhiyah with something else, it's not possible because this is a very explicit and specific act of worship, you understand? So therefore, what can be done is you can always fall back onto the bare minimum and then maybe go on to also give some dry rations and things like that if you feel that will also be helpful. That's one way to go about with it, but you can't replace the udhiyah or in place of the udhiyah give something else out. That's basically the ruling, and I hope it's clear. Yes, you may do so. So just please reach out to the hotline below and the office will help you in that regard. So I think I've addressed as many of the questions as possible, inshallah ta'ala. If you do have further questions, go on and post them in the comments. And I will, inshallah, try to address them later on if possible, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So with that, because I think I can hear the adhan being called out as well. With that, I conclude this virtual reminder. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites us, just as how He united us for this virtual reminder from different parts of the country and from different parts of the world, in the beautiful and lofty gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wah, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khairah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.